back. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So we are currently smack dab in the middle of Pisces season, and we have that full moon in Virgo coming up tomorrow, actually, which is coming at 1:48 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, which is Monday, March 9th. And this is also, I believe it's the second of the super moons this year, and that basically means that when the moon is closest to Earth, and that causes us to see it looks like it's appearing a lot bigger than usual just because it's closer in proximity. But we also feel that intensity more because it's closer, it's pulling on us more intensely. This Earth-ruled Virgo moon is a really good time to reflect upon what we've called in, kind of the lessons we've learned, and the things we've accomplished since Virgo season. Because of that cycle, how, you know, when we're in the sun season of Pisces, we're going to have our full moon in Virgo, which means when we were in Virgo season back late August through September of 2019, we were really kind of putting out what it is that we would be manifesting, calling in from then until now. So it's a great time. Full moons are kind of a period to give thanks for what we've called in, what we're grateful for, what has manifested, and also just kind of that retrospective on what's working, what's not, what we want to change, what we want to continue. So I specifically in that period since Virgo season, again, from late August to late September, it's good to reflect on kind of what we've called in and what's working and what's not. So that rational, grounded Virgo energy also provides a nice balance to this watery, emo, fantasy-filled vibration of Pisces that we're in right now. So if things have felt a bit scattered or hard to move forward regarding any tangible goals lately, this Virgo full moon, along with the advantageous placement of Jupiter, is really likely to help us be able to focus a bit more, really kind of put our head down, focus on material and earthly goals for the remainder of the month. And I'm really looking forward to this full moon for that reason. I myself have been a little bit scattered in this Pisces energy, and I'm looking, you know, Virgo can, people see it as it can be like the perfectionist, it can be very detail oriented, but sometimes we need that grounding earth, kind of almost teacher energy of Virgo. I have a lot of Virgo friends, my mom's a Virgo, and I find it very soothing, that earth energy of Virgo. So I'm looking forward to this full moon tomorrow, and I'm also really excited to talk to our guest today, who can probably share way more about this, as she's an incredibly accomplished astrologer and author. But before we bring her on, let's quickly go through our cards for the month. So we're still working our way through that Pisces ruled moon card. And, you know, if those of you who listened to the monthly overview and last week's episode, we addressed the moon card, which in the Badass Bitches Tarot is that half hot mess, shaved head Britney, and half sexy, iconic Britney. And this water-ruled card often indicates that we're facing a lot of mirrors. So some are like flattering Instagram filters, and those mirrors are going to make us feel amazing. I've gotten some of the most beautiful DMs and emails from listeners and followers of my Instagram this month, just beautiful. And those felt like beautiful, validating mirrors. Others have been a little bit triggering, and those are mirrors of our shadow, and not the male. All the male was lovely, guys. Just things that have come up in my day-to-day life have triggered shadow. Let's clarify that. But those also give us the opportunity to really dive in further and integrate and clear some of those things as they're appearing. If we look at them in real time and ask ourselves in that moon card energy, okay, what is this showing us? What is this reflection? It can help us clear some things that we may have kind of skated past or avoided in the past. Our second card of the month is that air and earth ruled card, the Knight of Pentacles, aka the Mindy Kaling card in Badass Bitches Tarot. And Knight of Pentacles really encourages us to stay on task and wants us to know that we're really putting in the groundwork now to allow those pentacles to flow in as a result of our focus, our drive, and our commitment to what it is we're doing. So it's funny because I feel like, again, it's earth and air, but the Knight of Pentacles has a lot of Virgo vibes to me. It's just like that's kind of what I associate it with. So it's so interesting that we're in this Virgo full moon in Pisces. It's very Knight of Pentacles working with the moon. I like these two cards for the month, and I like it for this week specifically. But speaking of this week, those are our monthly cards for all of March. So let's take a look at what we've got coming in specifically for this week. Judgment reversed. Okay, so let's take a look at this. In the OG Smith Rider Waite card, there's a lot going on in this card, right? It's one that can kind of be challenging when you're first learning because you're like, whoa, this is a lot of imagery, a lot of things happening. The Judgment card shows naked men, women, children, and they're all popping up out of graves with, you know, their arms up, trying to find out how they're going to fare on Judgment Day, basically. Well, this angel figure, which is said to be Archangel Gabriel, blows his trumpet. And this is really seen as a time of having to make some important decisions. It can also be like a spiritual awakening, a life review, if you will, of looking back. What have we learned up until this point? What have we done? Kind of where do we stand in our path and in the lessons that we've moved through? In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, I made this card Christina Aguilera, and I drew her in her judge's chair on The Voice, but she's rocking her 2004 Dirty Chaps. And the thing about this image that I created is that she's already worn those chaps. She's already been that version of herself and cleared those lessons. So judgment asks us to look at our past, observe the lessons we've gone through so that we don't have to repeat them or overly identify with them. And this card also reminds us that while it's helpful to look at our past, it's equally important to be gentle on ourselves in the process and be kind of as objective and non-emotional and just be kind to yourself and don't beat yourself up kind of as you do that big overview, big picture review. According to the Order of the Golden Dawn, judgment is ruled by the element of fire, asking, because some of the cards, the major arcanas, there's a lot of planets, there's also constellation or zodiac sign ruled cards, and then there are cards that are just pure, you know, one element. For example, the Fool is just pure air, judgment, pure fire. And that's really in this card, you know, that fire energy asking us what we're passionate about, what lights us up, and where can we apply this. Judgment can also come up as a fiery message or a ping from the universe. And this week, we have this card reversed, which means we might be getting those messages and either not sure how to apply or receive them fully, or it could be that we're being overly hard on ourselves and prone to that, like, looping thoughts, overanalyzing, harshly judging ourselves, especially with all those watery, emotional Pisces moments that are coming up. That can really, and that coupled with that communication haze of Mercury still retrogade, it can cause, that makes sense. Judgment reverse, it's that we can be, you know, looking at the past, whether that's past relationships, things we've done, you know, parts and areas of our life, and being harsh on ourselves. I recently actually had a really strong judgment reverse moment. Just to give an example of this, because a lot of you do DM me or comment on my Instagram and say that the examples that I give are clarifying. So I want to thank you for that. I never want to be like, oh, back to me and my personal life related to the cards. But if it does help give kind of an example, I like to do that for you and break it down. So in this moment that occurred for me when I was really thinking, oh, this is judgment reverse, because I have a lot of things that come up, whether they're beautiful, lessons or whether they're kind of shadow triggers. And I think often of what tarot card I'm kind of embodying. And this was very judgment reverse. So a friend of mine sent me a post that Stacey London had shared on Instagram. And she was sharing that she's now in an incredible and loving relationship with a woman, though she had previously identified as straight and only dated men. So for those of you who don't know her, she's an author and television host. She's most widely known for her show What Not to Wear that was on for several years, several seasons, and she was the host of that. So this Instagram post was so beautiful and so eloquently stated. It was recognizing, she recognized recognized her privilege as a 40-year-old affluent white woman. She also acknowledged the very real struggles of many others in the LGBTQIAP community, and that they don't have the resources and, you know, the privilege basically that she has being who she is in this lifetime. She also thanked all of those in the community who've come before her to help really allow her to be able to have this opportunity to love openly and to speak her truth and share her truth with the world. And I literally cried when I read this post. And a friend was sharing it, just being like, isn't this so beautiful? And of course I was like, yes, I liked it. I commented like, thank you, Stacey. The world needs more of you. And I was my first reaction was of gratitude for this message and for Stacey's strength and her voice. But I also then found myself feeling sad. And I was like, what is this sadness about? And I really, it's those, you know, a combination of judgment reversed, and that the mirrors in the moon card. And I found myself kind of thinking back of that version of me who dated someone not that different, socioeconomically than Stacey London. She was a 50-something-year-old white privileged straight identifying woman. But my partner did not handle her feelings, you know, this way. It was quite the opposite. She really buried them in shame. And I felt, you know, I went through a really challenging period as a result of that. And I was trying to figure out, why is this triggering me over a relationship that I chose to end, and it's ended it years ago? And I realized part of me was sad for my past self because I had felt so unworthy. But I also knew this highly charged moment really was a judgment reverse ping from the universe. So a lot of times, again, in the reversal, it's kind of like you're getting these messages. You may not instantaneously know what they are, but they're very emotionally, spiritually charged. So I was like, okay, noted. I'm getting this from the universe. And because, as I so often say, I believe time is non-linear, I sent this feeling of gratitude and pride for Stacey's post to my past self. And, you know, sending past me the strength and the belief that not only was this possible, but exactly what I deserved in a partner. So I believe, you know, when we have these moments, if you find yourself grappling with emotionally charged messages from the universe, it can be helpful to look at the judgment reversed energy, and instead of being hard on yourself for those feelings, use that information and those feelings that are coming up to send to your past or your future self, whose path may be opened up by exactly what you're experiencing right now. So, speaking of strong, intuitive water energy, I am so excited for our guest today, especially given that we're in the middle of Pisces season. Shakira Taborn is an astrologist, writer, and creator of theastrology.com and Influx magazine. She also literally wrote the book on Pisces. We will get to that in a moment. Hey, Shakira, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so happy to have you on. I loved my reading that I had with you. I've been following you for a while, and then did a one-on-one astrology chart reading with you, and I was like, I have to talk to you on the podcast. So you have a really impressive background. How did you kind of first become interested in astrology, and did you always know this was going to be your career, or did it kind of happen through a series of events?
Yeah, I definitely had no idea that this was going to be my career. I started getting into astrology, I don't really remember when. Like, I've always known I was a Scorpio. And I know that I've always known because I'll like find old, paperwork from when I was a kid and things. Like, I would always sign my name with like my birth date and time, and like I would always like write things about being a Scorpio. That's been since I was like a kid. But yeah, my dad has always been really into space, so he had me memorize all the planets and their like order from the sun when I was like 8 or 9 years old. So I've always kind of had like the vocabulary of the planets. Yeah, when I was around 12 years old is when I started to actually like research things online, and it was really just about like what signs were most compatible. I was like boy crazy and just wanted to know who I was most compatible with. And I remember thinking this is just like cool knowledge to have. But it wasn't until 2012 when I learned about birth charts, and one of my friends was just like, did you know that there's more than just your like sign? Like there's a moon sign and other signs. And I was like, what? I kind of was just like, I can't believe someone's telling me this, and the other way around, like this sounds like something I should know. And like my Scorpio competitiveness kind of kicked in, I guess, because she was also Scorpio. I remember going home and like being on my parents' couch and researching, like Googling birth chart, and then seeing my chart for the first time and being like completely amazed. And I'll just never forget that moment. It was just very magical. And I fell hardcore in love and obsessed. And I didn't sleep that night, actually. I just stayed up all night researching, and I just became obsessed from that moment on. And so, yeah, that was 2012. And then 2015 is when I started to like launched my own social channels to talk about astrology more. I was just like really, really into it and always talking about it with everyone and doing hundreds and hundreds of charts of like anyone I would meet. By 2015, I was like ready to start telling, like naming myself an astrologer. And that was a really big deal for me. What I was doing for work was like totally different. I studied photography in college, and I was working at an ad agency as a photo producer. So I wasn't doing anything astrology related, but there was like a global Slack channel or Slack. And I made my own Slack channel called Astrology. And so I would just like tell people what was happening whenever I felt like it, basically. It was just like an avenue.
Oh my God, yeah. That's amazing.
It was actually kind of crazy. Like there was people from, cause the ad agency had offices all over the world. So there were people in like Buenos Aires and like Berlin and London and like, you know, different parts of the country, who were all in my Slack channel and like were fans of me somehow. So that's where I kind of got started with like just writing things about astrology. And it was a really good like launching ground for, you know, just getting comfortable with that. And then I started to hate that job a lot, and it was just burning me out, as corporate jobs tend to do.
Yeah.
And in 2018, I couldn't do it anymore. And, I took the leap to quit that job and just like try to figure something else out. And that's also when, yeah, I guess that's when I started to be a little bit more serious about astrology. And I kind of made the decision that I was going to have to figure out a way to make myself a full-time astrologer. So I ended up getting another job, which I just ended last Friday, so like 3 days ago.
Oh wow, congratulations.
Thank you. But yeah, in the meantime, like all of last year, all of 2018 and 2019 was me just like really focusing on the astrology and my business and like making something out of that so that I could reach the point that I am at right now, which is going full time.
That's incredible. Well, congratulations. That's like such an inspiring story for, I'm sure, so many people that are listening as well. So what advice do you have? I know that a lot of people that do like follow my podcast, they're kind of coming into their gifts, whether it's tarot or astrology and kind of this metaphysical and healing space, because you had, like you said, you had kind of started off with it and then we're still working, but created that like almost like that little Slack channel world of your astrology with where you were in the ad space. What advice do you have for people that are just starting to kind of realize their gifts and in terms of whether it's astrology or, you know, any other metaphysical modality when they're figuring things out how to begin?
I guess what comes to mind first is that like it really does take having two jobs sometimes. Not for everyone, but I think for most of us, like we would love to be able to just quit and then do our own thing. But I think it just takes a lot of time to build up not only just like a little bit of savings and like, you know, some a client base that, you know, is continuing to grow, but to just build up the confidence to do that as well. It takes a lot of time and just like work on yourself. But I guess my main advice would be just like pay attention to the timing and just know that like it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. If you set that goal, just be patient with it. Obviously that's like me embodying Saturn right now. It's my Saturn return begins in only a couple weeks. So I'm feeling very Saturnian right now. But the time part of it. And then also just like, I guess being really dedicated and passionate. Like for me, I just knew I couldn't work in offices for much longer. And I knew it was just kind of like a, you know, just having like chronic health issues and also just being the way I am. I have an Aries moon. I'm very like independent and just want to be my own boss. And so once I got to that point where I realized that I just wouldn't be able to function well in office culture anymore, I just made a goal. And then, excuse me, also, you know, using astrology to know when the timing would be most auspicious for me to you know, go out on my own. So that's another part of it.
Yeah.
I
think that's incredible advice. I was recently watching, I think it was a TED Talk with Elizabeth Gilbert talking about her writing career and how she did very similar to what you did. She had, you know, like a 9-to-5 like day job for a big chunk of that. And she said that it also kind of was allowing her to treat her writing like a really treasured relationship and that it didn't put the pressure on it as she built that. And I think that that's such good advice that you've given to people that are kind of starting to dip their toes into this world. The other question I had for you, because we are right in the middle of Pisces season and you are a published author, you literally wrote the book on Pisces. So, which is so cool. You wrote the book Zodiac Signs Pisces. So number one, how did that book come about? And number two, what can you tell us, any tips as we go through kind of the rest of Pisces season?
Yeah, well, the book was, I mean, yeah, it came out of nowhere, really. I could go through all the astrological transits that were happening, but I won't. But basically, there was a lot of astrological transits happening last year for me that kind of pointed towards a lot of writing work to be done. And just a lot of writing, communicating, all that stuff. So it came out of nowhere. I got an email from the publisher just being like, we're doing this series on zodiac signs and we want to know if you're interested. And I was one of the first people to sign on. There's 11 of us because one of the authors, Bess, she wrote two of them. She did both Virgo and Leo.
Is it Bess Matassa?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I love her too. Nice. Yes.
I'm like, she's a powerhouse. She's like a million planets in Aries. So she somehow was able to do that. Meanwhile, the rest of us are like dying just writing the one book. But so I got one of the first picks and I'm a Scorpio. So it was trying to, you know, a decision to choose between Scorpio or picking another sign for me. But I decided that I wanted to do Pisces because it's my rising sign and I'm also surrounded by Pisces. At the time, I was with my ex-boyfriend, who is a Pisces, my business partner, Shade, who was the other half of Influx. She's a Pisces. They were born a day apart, actually. One of my best friends is a triple Pisces. My grandmother's Pisces. Like, I'm just surrounded. Also, the whole Influx team, basically, like, were Pisces as well. There was one Aries. So, there was just a lot of Pisces in my life and I felt like it was a good sample size of people that I know pretty closely to like draw inspiration from. And so I didn't want to approach it like the Scorpio one where I'm kind of just like basing it off of only my experience. So that's why I chose Pisces, because I'm surrounded by Pisces and literally swimming in Pisces. So yeah, that was a whole thing, writing that book. a pretty difficult process writing a book. But yeah, and I guess in terms of like advice for Pisces season, yeah, this is the second one in a row where we've had Mercury retrograde during Pisces season, and it's been kind of a messy retrograde.
Because
of that. Mercury is what is called in detriment in Pisces. It's basically, Pisces is a territory that Mercury doesn't particularly love, because Mercury is about facts and figures and data and like the pieces of the puzzle, basically. And it's hard to do facts and figures and data and math when you're in the middle of the ocean, which is like what Pisces is. So Mercury ends up having to figure out how to communicate in different ways. So oftentimes that means things like music and poetry and just like, you know, nonverbal communication is very Mercury and Pisces, and Mercury in any water sign, really. Which, by the way, all of the Mercury retrogrades this year are in water signs.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be doing a lot of this, like, nonverbal, very, like, messy, confusing communication every couple months this year. But yeah, this one in particular is difficult for Mercury because it is a sign of its detriment. But, you know, again, it brings about new ways of communicating and of going about sharing information with people. So yeah, I think with Pisces energy, it's the key to it is to surrender and to like literally like swim with the wave instead of trying to swim against it, and be open to the magic and the mystery that's inherent in the sign. I think it's a super magical sign, and it gives us an opportunity to like kind of just let go sometimes.
I love that. And I love the analogy of like swimming with the wave instead of fighting it. I think that that's like the perfect advice for this season. And it's funny that you mentioned that, and kind of thank you for clarifying and explaining why it's been a challenging retrograde. I know that that's been the case for me personally, for several of my tarot clients. I feel like when there is an intense Mercury retrograde, that's like, I have a big influx in readings, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's seeing like how that's hitting a lot of people in similar ways. So thank you. That's super helpful, actually. So in terms of, obviously you're an incredibly talented astrologer. In terms of your offerings with the astrology, can you tell us a little bit about how you work in addition to doing chart readings, what else it is that you offer and how you work with clients?
Yeah. So, I've kind of like been officially launched, only a year now. Like April is when I like relaunched my website and started officially offering readings, which I was doing before, but it was pretty sparse. So I'm kind of new to all of it, and my offerings have been evolving over the past year. And I will be relaunching my offerings again at the end of this month. But yeah, what I do is I do astrology readings. Also offer tarot in addition to the astrology. So, you know, people can book with me a certain amount of time, just astrology or the option to do tarot as well, which I really love doing. And then what else? I do tutoring. I also do electional astrology, which is I help you pick a day and time basically to launch something or to begin something. And yeah, I've done that for things like conferences and Instagram launches, things like that.
Ooh, I'm definitely coming back to you for a project that I'm working on. I'm going to definitely come back to you for that when it's time to, you know, kind of launch it and share it with the world. That's good to know.
Yeah, it's honestly like, it's how I live my life basically is through astrology and making sure I'm doing things that as auspicious of a time that I can, given, you know, the circumstances. So it's something I really love to do. And I feel like people would or should take advantage of that more when it comes to, you know, hiring an astrologer, because it's, yeah, it can really mean a lot for your business, or whatever it is that you're launching, including like a wedding. I would never get married without consulting an astrologer about the day, but that's just me. I'm also a control freak.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny because I always say that like tarot is like my major and my minor is astrology. So I have kind of like a beginner to intermediate understanding of it, but I'm much more cautious. And if I can't break it down, like I don't at all, you know, I'm not well-versed in electional astrology, but I would come to you in a heartbeat before I make any big decisions on dates or launches, or like if I ever get married again, I'm definitely going to have you take a look at that.
It's important. I mean, it can totally make a difference. But yeah, that's kind of my main offerings in terms of client work for now. But I do see myself stepping more into teaching and hosting webinars. I'm going to launch a Patreon at the end of the month when I relaunch my offerings. So yeah, a lot more teaching, tutoring. And then my big project is to launch a course sometime this year. So that's kind of what I'm hoping to start getting into more, is like teaching.
Yeah, well, definitely keep me posted on the dates around that, because I know a lot of my listeners and followers on Instagram are really interested in astrology. And like I always say, I mean, I have a like somewhat of an understanding of it, but I'm definitely not an astrologist. I just kind of know the astrology rulings of the cards and, you know, like the houses and the 12 signs, obviously. But I would love to loop in any of my people that are looking to expand upon that into your course. So please do keep me posted on when you're going to start that.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely will. But yeah, and then besides that, I just do a lot of writing. So I'm employed by people to write certain astrology content.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, it's almost already the end of the half hour, and I have like a ton more questions, but before we head out, I ask everyone who comes on the podcast this, and I'm so glad that you read tarot, because it's always, I feel like the best answers come from people, other readers. Do you have a favorite card in the tarot deck that you love seeing, either when it's pulled for yourself or pulled in a reading that you get excited about?
Yeah, the first card that comes to mind automatically is the Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
I adore that card so much.
Oh my gosh. It's so, of course you do, because you're a Scorpio, and that's like the very, like, you know, it's change and evolution, and I love Wheel. It's, people either love that card or they hate it, though, don't you find? It's very, like, polarizing. I love it, too. I'm Sagittarius, Aries rising, and I love Wheel of Fortune. I made it Madonna in my deck.
Yes.
That, like, reinvention, that evolution. Yes, I love that that's your favorite.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I'm a Pisces rising, and Jupiter is my chart ruler, and so I kind of look at it as that. I have like Jupiter in Virgo, and I have Mercury in Sagittarius, and those are my chart rulers. And I the whole mutable nature of it, just like I look at my chart as kind of like a Wheel of Fortune, because it's mutable angles are constantly spinning and turning. And yeah, I just, that card makes me feel really good. It reminds me that we're like on a spinning ball of rock.
Yeah. Yes. I love that. Do you have a least favorite card, or one that like you know, do not love when you get it pulled for yourself, that you're like, oh, not that one?
Yeah. Which card? I think, you know, honestly, any of the sevens.
Yeah.
Any of the sevens, like those are cards I'm always just like, eh. The sevens are usually what trips me up. I pull 10 of swords a lot, and 9 of swords a lot, mostly 10 of swords. But that one is kind of spiky, obviously, but it doesn't make me, it reminds me that like, okay, I need to like stop thinking this way.
Right. Yeah. It's like a release, right? Like I feel really about it. Like, okay, noted. Yeah.
Yeah. But the sevens is just like internal frustration, and I just hate pulling them.
It's, I feel like that about the fives. I don't mind the sevens, the fives I don't love.
Yeah.
But I get that for sure. Well, okay. Where else is, like, I know that we can find you at theastrology.com. Your Instagram is also at theastrology, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And Twitter is at theastrology_. I'm on Twitter the most, just because I'm kind of obsessed, but also I'm on Instagram quite a bit. So
okay, great. Yeah, I'll also link to that in the notes to this podcast so that everyone can just click through. But I wanted to make sure that we're shouting out everywhere that you can be found. And definitely when you release your course, I wanna loop me back into that because I wanna post about that as well when that comes to fruition. Yeah, thank you so much, Shakira. It was a pleasure talking with you. And I think it was very comforting to have you, of all people, in the middle of Pisces season on the podcast. That makes me feel a lot better. And I hope that that is also a comfort to everyone who's been navigating a little bit of like trickiness around that Merc retro in Pisces.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Thank you. I'm so happy Shakira could join us today and share some of that juicy astrological knowledge of hers. If you don't already, follow at Theastrology and theastrology.com. She is such an incredibly talented astrologist, and just the way that she kind of shares that knowledge with us makes it just digestible and understandable in a really beautiful way. So before we head out, just wanted to quickly recap. We are in the middle of Pisces season, which we know, so we're still working with that moon card, reminding us to reflect on triggers this month that can actually be a blessing in disguise because they can serve as opportunities to heal and integrate our own light and shadow, just like the moon card in Badass Bitches Tarot. We all have that shaved, crazy meltdown Brittany, shaved head Brittany, and sexy, iconic Brittany. This month also brings in the Knight of Pentacles, aka the Mindy Kaling card, reminding us that rolling up our sleeves and putting in the hard work in what we love will generate big rewards. And this week we have Judgment Reversed, which reminds us to not let our inner critic get the best of us, especially in this watery Pisces season, but rather to use what's coming in and really try to decipher those messages and see how they can, you know, either help heal us in the present, or if not, send to your past or future self. Instagram Lives, still Monday nights at 7:30 Eastern time. If you haven't tuned in the past, again, these lives are a great chance to ask your own questions and get a free live mini reading. If you are not able to attend at that point in time that we're going live, you can also send questions through via DM or through my website, and I will get to as many of those as I can as well. I have some more fun events coming up the rest of this month, so stay tuned for those. You can check out at CardsyB and BadassBitchesTarot.com, where I always post upcoming events and collaborations. So there's some more dates that are pending, but stay tuned. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, happy, happy full moon in Virgo, and stay magical AF.